News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, yeah, so that article that I told you about that I just saw, literally, I hadn't even read it. I read it during the break. Steve Marshall, our attorney general, was on with the Matt and Val show this morning on Talk 99.5 down in Birmingham, and he made the point, actually it was yesterday, and he made the point exactly like what I just said, actually. I hadn't even read this yet, but here, let's talk about affirming. His words were, Steve Marshall's, "We all recognize the January 4 pushback to the deadline, the practical realities of it," Marshall said. "But if we're pushing it back by another month, then where's the urgency and where's the emergency? Because if, in fact, you are trying to quell an emergency situation, why are you giving it another month?" He said, "If I'm a federal judge, then I look at the government and I say, if this is so compelling, why did you choose that date? Why'd you take the other two emergency orders from the president's executive orders and modify all the dates when, in fact, you're arguing this pandemic is an emergency?" And there you go. That's exactly what I'm saying. Hey, I got a caller online, too. Let me jump over and grab that. Ed from Huntsville. Hey, Ed. Phil Williams from Right Side. How are you today?
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
I'm doing good, sir. How about you?
Senator?
Well, thank you. Well, what's on your mind, man?
All right, so I've got several things, but I'm going to narrow it down to one important point, and that's religious exemption.
Okay.
Okay. You say that you're not a Christian, and I want to tell you that I'm a Bible believer. And I want to tell you that you're wrong on your analysis. Your analysis continuously repeat. I've had COVID. I know people that have COVID. COVID is real, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. How do you know that you have COVID? And don't answer that question because I don't have time for that. You don't. So the answer is the confusion comes in with science. And you're a science person. And so the way it works is the entire COVID narrative is based on a theory. The problem is their educational system limited what doctors were taught. You're either taught germ theory or you're taught terrain theory. If you're not familiar with terrain theory, it's quite clear the answer. So what I want to say, essentially what they're doing, they're forcing a religion on the people. And so what I want to tell you is that I get nervous because I'm not a good talker. And
you're fine, sir, but we do have to speed it up a little bit, though. So go do the best you can, but we got to speed it up a little bit, okay?
Okay, all right. And so you keep saying you got COVID. The way you don't really know that fact. You know that yourself. And you don't know how to distinguish the difference because nobody in the world does, because they can't isolate it. And so you need to look up Koch's postulates and understand isolation. I know there's another postulate that came on later, but they cannot actually isolate this thing. And so what they're doing is they're basing the whole narrative on a theory. And so does the theory hold strong in court? Like if you were to go to court and you were saying, hey, Alabama, prove to me that this virus actually exists. Well, they're not going to be able to isolate it because nobody in the world's done it. Now you'll find a study that says that they have isolated, but it's a theoretical assumption that concludes
Let me jump in here just a minute before we go too much further because we're going to run out of time. First of all, let me ask you this: Are you a trained medical practitioner or a medical researcher? What's your background?
I've researched. My background is U.S. Army, trained special ops. I went to Auburn, studied civil engineering, dropped out. So I don't have the credentials, but I know my shit.
Okay, well, hey, let's not cuss on the air there, thank you. But Ed, so the bottom line is this, man. Working within the parameters that we have, there are experts in the field who intend. Did we just drop him? Did he just dropped off? Copper, did we lose him? Okay, yeah, well, I guess when he threw the cuss words out on the air, we have to go ahead and make that call. And I don't fuss at that, Copper. Good call. All right, so Ed, first of all, don't cuss on the air, but next I will say this. We do have experts, all right? We have experts in the arena who are able indeed to isolate this COVID-19, if you recall. COVID is not the only COVID in the world. COVID has got variants, and we are seeing COVID-19, and then there's also the Delta variant, and all those things do exist. And I acknowledge that. I'm not in a place where I can say this is a conspiracy and there's really no means of testing it or isolating it. What I am saying, though, is yes, there are certain – the reason why we have a number of false positives is because some of the tests are less discriminatory and they don't have the ability to isolate fully. That's why you want to have the best test possible But nonetheless, I will say this, COVID exists. And I can tell you too, not only was I diagnosed by a medical practitioner who I trust using a testing system that was one of the better ones available, but then I also got tested twice. And I know for a fact that the testing showed that I had it. And then I'll also tell you too, that when Charlene and I had it, it was like nothing we had ever had before. It was unique in all the world. I've had flu. I've had, my recollection was I've had chicken pox. I think I had mumps when I was a kid. My mom could tell me for sure. But I have been sick as a dog in the past, and I've had some strange illnesses when I was overseas. But I'm just telling you right now, I do believe COVID exists. The question here now is, what do we do with it? Is it a pandemic, or have we just reached what they call endemic stage, which means it is now among us. It will not leave us. We should then act accordingly. Do you continue to shut down society for something that's not necessarily going away? And is the vaccine really a vaccine or just a preventative? Because as a vaccine, it's not curing things because vaccinators are still getting sick. Now, those kind of things I believe we can talk about. Talking about whether or not COVID exists, I'm going to have to disagree with you, man. Thanks for the call. Don't cuss on the air. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. I got some news for you when we get back about the latest in COVID pushback. Be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, if you find yourself driving outside the overly broad range of our AM-FM capability here at WVNN, which would be kind of hard, I think, because, you know, technically we cover most of North Alabama, South Tennessee. Even still, though, if you're getting out of range, going on vacation, heading down, you know, to a different part of the state or out of state, just know that you can go to rightsideradio.org on any one of your devices, rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. And we've got folks in multiple states that listen to the show. People down in South Alabama, Copper and I were at an event last night, and that was a great night too, wasn't it, Copper?
It was.
I mean,
great to meet some fans.
It was. We had a lot of fans there. We had a lot of folks from 1819 News. We had folks there, of course, supporting the Right Side Radio, the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, the Alabama Policy Institute. It was a joint event for all of us at Barber Motorsports. By the way, Barber Motorsports, if you have not been to Barber Motorsports, that place is so – you don't have to like cars to like that place. It is awesome. But anyway, we were down there last night having that kind of an event, and I had people from Mobile telling me they love listening to the show. And so that was just – that's just cool. And that's a blessing too, by the way. I've got a little thing right here above my desk that says it's an honor to have this platform, and it is. All right, people, let me tell you, there's been some things happening in the world of vaccine mandate pushbacks. So vaccine mandates pushbacks. Now, your state legislature has done some stuff, all right? And I'm gonna talk about that in great detail. Before I do, though, because I'm gonna wait until a little bit later in this segment and then do that right before State Senator Arthur Orr comes on so that he can speak directly to what I've just finished covering for you, which is what happened with our state-level vaccine mandate pushback bills. Because they passed, and on the one hand, I am satisfied with the fact that they passed. On the other, I'm a bit, you know, bothered by the fact that they got watered down, if you will. But you know what? I do keep this in mind. We had nothing before, nothing. And the governor wanted nothing. Keep that in mind. The governor wanted nothing. If Governor Ivey wanted something to be done in the special session, she would have put it in her call. I do know for a fact, because I've talked to people who were a part of it, that there were a certain level of advocacy going on, asking her to please put it in the call, make it something that had executive emphasis. Did she do it? No. Did she sign the bills today? Yes, she did. And she, with great fanfare, by the way, she signed them and talked about how great they were. But I'm going to be honest with you, it was frustrating to know she didn't do it. But I am glad to see that a separate branch of government, the state legislature, chose to take action on their own, because once they were in session, they were allowed to do that as long as they had a two-thirds vote of the majority or two-thirds vote of the body to do it, and they did. But hey, so here's the deal. Yesterday, let me step back here. Yesterday, OSHA, actually the Biden administration, issued its regulatory burdens, if you will, to come out that are going to cover over half of the workforce in the United States. Half. Over 101 million people are going to be covered by these OSHA guidelines. And they didn't just issue, by the way, OSHA. They also came from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, known as CMS. So two different things here. One is OSHA. Now, keep in mind, this is separate from all the federal contractors. Biden has already mandated that federal employees and federal contractors have to get the vaccine by a certain date, right? It was December 8th. Oh, now it's January 4th. Huh. Anyway, apparently it's not that big of an emergency. We can wait. But anyway, they pushed all that back to January 4th. The military has its own dates. That's separate. So all you green suiters out there at Redstone Arsenal, understand that whatever your command has said is the date you still have to go by. Executive employees, I get it. That's, you know, it's an executive order. It's like the boss telling you what to do. So sucks to work for the boss, but there it is. The executive order as to federal contractors, not so much. That's you saying, hey, private contractors, you private entities that do work with the government, yeah, if you want to be, you know, in that contract with us, that contract you make money on, that contract we've already signed with you, yeah, we're going to have to make a change, yeah. And that's just not the way it's supposed to work in contract law. That's called a novation. Now, maybe they left themselves some room to wiggle in the contract for, you know, things that might have the force of law. This is an executive order. And so we already have a lawsuit out there against the federal contractor mandate. And that's what affects people like, you know, all the defense contracting industry out there at Redstone or in Research Park. We've got people, you know, of course, doing everything from, you know, sanitation and janitorial and maintenance services on Redstone to people that are doing, you know, the white collar engineering and the defense management systems. And then you've also got stuff like United Launch Alliance over in Decatur building rockets. There's a lot of stuff that affects. But then they went one step further. OSHA, the Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, the one that comes around and does checks to make sure your people are, you know, wearing a hard hat on the job site, or that they're not climbing a ladder without a safety device, or, you know, that if there's a slippery floor that they have some measure of mats down or boots that they wear that are going to prevent them from slipping. Those are the kind of things OSHA is supposed to do on a normal basis, right? Right. Except that OSHA has been tasked with coming up with what's called an emergency, ETS, emergency testing standard, I believe it is. I'll come back to that in a minute, make sure I got my term right. But the bottom line is OSHA is issuing guidelines that affect employers who have 100 employees or more. Because surely, if you have 99, you're not as contagious, right? When you reach 100, whoo, you're a super spreader. So OSHA is going to be coming in there and slapping some awful, I mean some god-awful penalties on businesses starting January 4th if their people are not vaccinated. January 4th, by the way, they're moving everything to January 4th. Get you back from the holidays, work it from there. And then the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, CMS, they came out and said, oh, by the way, we're doing ours too, January 4th. And January 4th, all employees at healthcare facilities that participate in Medicare and Medicaid services have to be fully vaccinated. And by the way, they do not allow exemptions. Well, how's that going to work? So what's just happened now is the bills that were passed by the Alabama legislature have mandated that exemptions have to be provided and offered, and the system has been put in place for them to do so. And so you're going to have hospitals that are going, we're not allowed to give exemptions. And we were giving exemptions, although not very well, St. Vincent's. But we're now, state law says we have to, but now CMS is saying we can't. And then you're going to have federal contractors saying, well, it was December 8th, even though United Launch Alliance fired its employees last week at the end of October. Thank you, United Launch Alliance. But yet we've got till January 4th. But what happens if we don't meet that standard? Massive penalties. So the lawsuits are being filed. Let me tell you a couple things that are happening. First of all, the lawsuit was filed yesterday. Where's my sheet here? I got paper flying everywhere. Let me see which one I got here. So the lawsuit was filed yesterday by Florida, Georgia, and Alabama. I love it. Florida, Georgia, and Alabama make up the 11th Circuit, and we're going to take this thing to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. Governor Ron DeSantis issued his executive mandate, his pushback on the mandate yesterday. So I'm looking at a story right now that came off of local news, Tallahassee, Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis formally announced Thursday that Florida will present a challenge to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration's order mandating companies with more than 100 employees require vaccinations. Bam! The state of Florida will be joined in the lawsuit by Georgia and Alabama. Copper, you got clip one ready? Hit me the high sign here when you're ready with it. I think you are right now, but if you got it, I want to go ahead. Copper, are you ready with clip one? She's getting ready. So this clip right now is going to be a local news story that is then followed by a statement made by Governor DeSantis. It explains it probably as well or better than I could have. So Copper, go ahead and play clip one.
The Biden administration laying out new rules requiring millions of unvaccinated Americans to get the shot.
We're now down from 100 to about 60 million unvaccinated Americans, 12 years and older.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration releasing the requirements, calling on workers at companies with more than 100 employees to be fully vaccinated by January 4th or test weekly for COVID and wear a mask at work. Failing to comply could result in a $14,000 fine per violation. And all federal employees, federal contractors, and healthcare workers at facilities receiving federal funds must also be fully vaccinated by January 4th.
We've said from the very beginning, Florida will contest that immediately. They do not have the authority to unilaterally impose this through an executive agency like OSHA.
Governor Ron DeSantis announcing he's filing a lawsuit against OSHA, saying the agency is abusing its power and the vaccine mandate will push people out of their jobs.
People should not be in a situation where they're faced with the jab or their jobs. People have been working. We don't want to kick people out of jobs.
So listen, here's the bottom line. Governor Ron DeSantis is speaking on behalf of the same lawsuit that we're in. Yeah, go ahead and grab the mic, Copper. Say what you got there. I think I know what you're going there.
I love DeSantis. That's so catchy. The jab or your job.
But it's well put, right? I mean, that's the. I like it too. It's kind of catchy. It zings, but it also gets the point. You should not be faced with the jab or your job. And that's just, golly, that's where we are. But there's other things that are happening. So one of the things I wanted to point out is that's not the only tactic, by the way. Your state legislature did some stuff that we'll talk about here in just a minute after the next break. And the other things that are happening are, for instance, I'm looking at a story right now. I pulled this off the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Milwaukee? Yes, indeed, Milwaukee. Wisconsin manufacturer files suit against the Biden administration's new OSHA vaccine mandate. Here you go. Private plaintiffs getting involved. A Wisconsin manufacturer filed suit Thursday to block the Biden administration from instituting COVID-19 vaccine mandates for private sector workers. This company called Tankcraft and another one called Plasticraft, they both said, listen, we have more than 100 employees. But the owner says, he's a guy named Steve Fettig, he says, the order is unconscionable. OSHA does not know how to run our companies. We do. OSHA does not know how to keep our employees safe. We do. And we have done so successfully since the start of the pandemic without the interference of federal bureaucracy. We respect our employees' fundamental right to make their own private and difficult medical choices. That is an awesome response from a boss who is saying, you know what? I'm not going with it. You can't tell me how to run my company. That you've never been here, federal government, when I was running my company. You've just been out there from afar making it more difficult. And he literally said, I love this. We respect our employees' fundamental right to make their own private and difficult medical decisions. Well, one last thing before the break. You ought to know this. Story off Fox Business. I knew this was coming. Remember when I kind of joked a few minutes ago and I said, 100 employees, that's the threshold. Because 99, you're not contagious, right? Well, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration says it is now seeking comment about whether businesses with fewer than 100 employees should be subject to the COVID-19 vaccine testing mandate. There you go. I knew they would. They're looking at ways where they can get into your business just by moving the goalposts. That's what they do. All right, folks. We're going to take a short break right here. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what happened, in summary, with the bills last night in the Alabama State Legislature. I'm proud they did something. I wish they had done more. But in the end, There is something to be said about the fact that the legislature did more than the governor wanted them to do. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Listen, I'm trying to give you the big overview of what's happening. Lawsuits are being filed. Other states are taking action. We're joining in as a state with Florida and Georgia in another lawsuit aside from the one that the AG's already filed against the federal contractor mandate. And I understand that there will be a third lawsuit very soon to deal with the Medicaid, Medicare restrictions. So all said and done, the litigation is going to be like thick. And the Attorney General has said in a statement on 1819 News that I just was kind of going over earlier that he fully believes that we're going to be able to get this thing in front of a court and have it enjoined. Enjoined, just legal term meaning put the thing on hold, stop everything, keep the status quo where it is while we do the litigation about the merits of the case itself. And so I really do believe that we're going to wind up seeing some legal action that's going to help keep things at bay. What does that mean for us? On the litigation side, I think what's important to recognize is that if we can get this matter enjoined, it's very likely that it will have to take a while to go through the processes of what they call the merits of the case. A preliminary injunction keeps it on hold. The case moves forward. If we get this thing put on hold by January, I can just tell you right now, the likelihood is that it will not be heard before the November elections, which would mean that we would have a new Congress, hopefully in a new Senate, that might come in and pass something that literally rebuffs these mandates and puts congressional action in place that would trump anything that an executive order could do. That's good. Now, other things that have happened is right here in your own state, your state lawmakers met over the last week and a half in special session. They were called in by the governor, despite the fact that everybody was asking her to please put this, well, everybody, not everybody, because the Business Council of Alabama became like the uber liberal group of the state for a while, and basically said, we don't really want to touch on these mandate things. You know, it's scary for us. We got to consider the business more than the employee, and that's what happened. And so the BCA fought back, and apparently the governor listened. And so she did not put this in the call for the legislature, but the legislature went into action, and they chose to do so anyway. I love it. So a story I'm looking at right now on Alabama Daily News by Todd Stacey and Mary Sell and Carolyn Beck. They collaborated on the story, put this thing together last night. The legislature did pass the two bills. There were two bills, remember, Senate Bill 9. I've got both the newest versions in my hands, and Senate Bill 15. Senate Bill 9 is the one that says, here's how you're going to do this on religious and medical exemptions. Big changes in that. I will say this, they changed it a little bit here, a little bit, a lot. The Senate passed what I think was the strongest version. The House watered it down some. They went into conference committee. They couldn't agree for a long time. They finally came out with a compromise. What will happen now? Because the governor signed it, by the way. The governor signed it today. And even though she didn't want to do this, she issued a glowing statement about how wonderful it is to fight back. And yes, thank you, Governor, it is. Where were you when we needed you in the call? But that's okay. Anyway, she signed the bill. Senate Bill 9 says, if you, employee in Alabama, desire a medical or religious exemption, the employer is supposed to give you a form to fill out. And the presumption is, and a presumption in the law means it goes in your favor. The presumption is automatically in your favor that by filling out that form, you are to be given the exemption, period. Now, where are the stipulations? How did it get weaker? Because the House decided to go ahead and amend it some and add the conditions under which you would get a medical exemption. Now, some of those are good. One of them is natural antibodies. I didn't see that coming. I'm glad they put that in there. Other medical conditions, and they did require, the compromise came out, they required that you're going to have your doctor sign off on it too. All right. So you don't have to have all your medical records attached and disclose all your HIPAA, but you do have to tell your boss, I want a medical exemption. Here's one of the five reasons why. Here's my signature. Here's my doctor's signature. How do you like me now? Put it in my file. I want the exemption. But the other one is a religious exemption. And with very little exception, you're allowed to claim a religious exemption simply by checking the block that says you have a sincerely held religious belief. And that's good. Now listen, we come back top of the hour. I've got State Senator Arthur Orr, who was in the mix on all of this. He's going to give us a lowdown of how this thing came to be, that we passed these, that we amended them, that we passed them again, and now the governor signed them. What does it mean for Alabama? And does he like the final result? I'm curious to hear it too. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.